up on this week's episode, we're looking at how our teams are faring in the Premier League at the moment and have a look at the other Premier League teams. We've got some Wonders of White, a quiz, and Liam's on Who Am I? So let's get started. Hello and welcome to View for Zion podcast. It's me, Chris, and Liam is here. Hello, Liam.
Hello, Chris. How are you feeling after this weekend?
Dire.
Yeah.
I wasn't too bad Thursday, 10:15, till Sunday, 5:15. I was feeling actually all right. And then, yeah, what happened happened.
Oh, no. I thought you'd snuck it, mate. I thought it'd seen you through a 2-1 win, but no, that amazing goal scorer, Ollie McBurney, obviously known for his Premier League goal, has come up trumps again.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I don't know if you've seen the highlights or seen the game, but one of the Sheffield United defenders, I don't know what his name was, I can't remember it, but he went in off his feet on Palmer with his stud showing, and he got a yellow card for it. Now, I've seen players, remember VAR is still in use, still a thing. Yeah. I've seen players that are sent off for a lot less than that. And even the commentator was saying that he thought it was a red card and he was very lucky to be on the pitch. Whether that would have made a difference, I don't know. But this was when it was 1-1, so I don't know.
You never know. You never know.
We might have lost if they were down to 10 men. Who knows?
Well, yeah, that would be the most Chelsea thing to do this season, to be honest.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah. we're gonna talk about fairings, I think, yeah, in a minute. But this is the first podcast of this year.
It is back.
So yeah, we are back.
The running.
We're at the sort of end of the coming to the end of the league now. But it's wide open. I think it makes for a better end to the league when there's three teams, fighting for it. But there seems to be little groups within the Premier League at the moment of who can get where.
Yeah, it's obviously the first time for a long time there's been more than two teams fighting out of the top, which is obviously makes for an interesting season, especially after the weekend's games, because now there is literally 1 point separating the top three. I've never known it be that close, not between the three teams anyway. And then obviously you look at the bottom, there are two teams cut adrift, but with the points deductions, it's made it very, very interesting down there. You know, 5 points really separating from 14th down. It's not very often you get a season where it's so close at either end. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't really, genuinely, at this point, don't know where I see the title going. I would always back Man City because they always do well at this time of year. And they'll put together, you know, 6, 7, 8 wins on the trot. But they've not quite done that just yet. So it'll have to be a bit of a late dash for them. But I genuinely don't know who I fancy. Going into the weekend, I thought it was Liverpool's to lose. But now, you know, after the results of the weekend, I don't know. You're looking at Arsenal's goal difference and thinking it's probably worth an extra point to them now. I don't know what you think, Chris. I mean, I don't know who you fancy to...
Yeah, well, it's like you said, it's very interesting on who's actually... who's going to get it. I don't know. Like you said, I mean, before the weekend, I was swaying towards Liverpool, but, you know, all three are still in Europe at the moment. So, you know, they've all got that to hurdle as well. I don't know. I just think with Man City, sort of looking at who they've still got to play, you know, they've got Luton, Brighton, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, West Ham. I would say, arguably, probably they're not going to drop many, if any, points against those teams.
Agreed.
where Liverpool have got Palace, Fulham, Everton, West Ham, but Liverpool have also got to play Tottenham and Aston Villa, with Villa away as well.
Yeah.
Both you'd have to say that would probably be, they're going to drop points. And then Arsenal, they've got Aston Villa, they've got Wolves, Tottenham, Chelsea, Bournemouth, Man United as well. So I would say running wise, I know they're a point behind Man City, but I think I think they're going to do it. I can see Arsenal and Liverpool dropping points. I just can't see Man City dropping them against the teams they've still got to play.
It's strange that it's played out that all three teams within the final 10 games of the season, first, second and third, have all had to play fourth and fifth. Spurs and Villa have both been in the final 10 games for all of the top three. So, it's, you know, we have lost a little bit. You know, we've tailed off. I'll probably come on to Villa in a little bit. But, you know, we were up there and competitive for quite some time. Spurs were at the start of the season. So it has created, I mean, I'm looking at the gap now. It is 11 points, but we were just talking before we started recording about Man United's running is fairly easy. So they should pick up quite a few points. I think 11 points will be enough, but, you know, to have such a gap between fifth and sixth now, even with Man United's game in hand.
Well, you look at Man United in sixth, 49 points. Even I'd say down to sort of 10th, 11th, where you got Brighton and Wolves on 42. They're all, you know, they aren't quite tightly bunched up. And Chelsea have got a game in hand. I mean, with a game in hand, they'd go, well, they wouldn't move up, but they'd go level on points with Newcastle and two behind Man United. So, you know.
That race for sixth is actually quite an interesting one.
Yeah, and like we said before we came on, there's going to be more European places up for grabs this season.
Yeah.
So it's looking like anywhere 8th or above will probably get you in some form of European competition. I would assume that finishing 8th will probably make you have to qualify for something. But, I mean, you would expect a team in the Premier League to be able to qualify for Europe.
What I don't, this sounds very nitpicky, Chris, but what I'm going to complain about here is I understand, you know, teams are in Europe and teams get better cup runs and things like that. But the top three of Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City have all somehow managed to play 31 games. You know, it's all very level. There was a little while I think Man City did have a game in hand, but that's obviously now been played. But you look at, from Villa down, really, we played 32, Man United played 31, West Ham 32, Newcastle 31, you played 30, Brighton have played 31. It's just as, it's such a miss. Why can't they just stick with everybody plays at the same weekend? It really winds me up because I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, all right, Chelsea have only played 30 games. You know, you've got two games in hand over West Ham. And you are only 4 points behind. So if you technically did win those games, you'd go ahead of them. One, it just makes more sense to just do it evenly.
Yeah, well, our game in hand is because of the Carabao Cup final. But I believe Liverpool have actually played their game in hand already. So, but they were struggling to get a date for the, because it's against Tottenham.
Yeah.
So that's been moved. I think they're playing on a Thursday at 7:30. So, I mean, I think, like I said, anything, I think down from 11th, maybe even Bournemouth at 12th. I mean, they're only, if we're saying 8th, they're only 6 points off 8th. So, I mean, there's still a lot to play for. And then you kind of got Fulham in 13th on 39. And then they're 9 points ahead of Crystal Palace in 14th. And I mean, if Everton keep going the way they're going, they're going to have no points left by the end of the season. The amount of points they're getting docked at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, they're only two ahead now of Luton. And I think it's probably safe to say that Burnley and Sheffield United are probably down already.
Yeah.
You know, Burnley are already 6 points behind Luton, but, you know, they're not. They haven't picked up many points over the last since Christmas. I think they've got like one win this this calendar year so far. And they've still got to play Tottenham, Newcastle, Man United.
Yeah, they've got a tough.
So,
yeah, there's a tough run. But, you know, I look at teams down there and you think Burnley have won 4 games this season. Luton have won 6. Doesn't sound like much of a difference, but you even look at their goal difference. Luton are minus 20, Burnley minus 35. That is a big difference.
Yeah.
It's not just 6 points. There is obviously a difference in how they're playing. And that has come down to goals. I mean, Luton, I think I said to you at the start of the season, they won't fear anybody at home. And I don't think they've feared anybody away. You know, they've scored 45 goals this season. You know, Wolves are in 11th. They've scored 44. Obviously, defensively, they've been a lot tighter. But they've given it a proper go. Obviously, it's been helped with the points deductions. I think if you take away the points deductions for Everton and Forest, I think was it Forest? Were they deducted 4 points? I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 4
would be a 4-point gap then between Luton and 17th. But obviously, it has made it interesting with the deductions that teams have. But they've given themselves a real fighting chance, Luton. I didn't think they were going to get much out of the weekend because Bournemouth have been on really, really good form since the turn of the year. But they played well and I think they deserved the last minute win, the Luton. So made it for an interesting final few weeks.
They've got Man City away on Saturday.
Yeah.
But then, interestingly, they play Brentford at home and Brentford are only 4 points ahead of them.
Yes.
I think everyone's been quite surprised. By Brentford and how, you know, last season they looked really, really good. But again, only what I think it's 2 wins this calendar year. One was at home to Forest and the other one was away to Wolves.
Yeah.
The only other points they've picked up a draw. They've drawn their last 3 games. But yeah, they are nowhere near.
No.
And I don't know whether that's got anything to do with, you know, obviously Ivan Toney being out for so long, because he's come back and he hasn't really, I wouldn't say he's really made a huge difference to them. And, you know, I think he's made it very clear that he's not going to be there next season. So,
yeah.
I can't imagine the commitment is completely 100% with him at the moment. But, you know, they've lost some, you know, they lost to Burnley as well, didn't they? Not too long ago, so...
Yeah, they've had a few injuries, I think, this season. A few people, I think, have maybe been a bit caught out with where they've ended up. But, I think Ivan Toney coming back is obviously a huge bonus for them. He has got them a few goals, but they just haven't come with wins, unfortunately. So, I don't know. They're not the kind of team that are going to completely overhaul everything, so...
Yeah, so if
they survive, I think they will... evolve and they will be very smart in the transfer window and they'll hire the right people in. I don't think we'll see them again down there next year. I think it's probably the first year where they've not progressed for a long, long time because Brentford obviously came up from League One through the Championship and into the Premier League. So yeah, I think it'll be an interesting summer for them. It depends what type of player they attract, I suppose. I mean, they managed to bring in Christian Eriksen. Obviously, he'd been ill, but he's obviously long gone now. But to attract that type of player just shows what project they've got going on.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to get money for Toney, aren't they? It's not like they're going to be without, you know, they're going to get probably around about, 40, 50 million for him.
Yeah.
For a club like that, I'm sure they'd be able to do something with that. But if we're saying Burnley and Sheffield United are going down...
Yep.
We'll just say, because I think Fulham are safe because they're just 1 point off 40. So, out of Crystal Palace, Brentford, Everton, Forest, and Luton, who do you think is going to be that third?
$1 billion question, isn't it? I think personally, the big game for me, I think Luton have got, you know, they can discount the Man City game, but they've got Brentford at home, Everton at home and Fulham at home. And I think they'll target 9 points out of that. I think they'll get a few as well. Looking at Forest, I think it's between those two, really. They've got Man City in their run-in, Wolves, Everton, but they've got Sheffield United, Chelsea, Burnley.
Forest.
It's going to be really tight. I think Forest could easily get another 9 points. They could
just out of their last three games. I've just seen they got Chelsea second from last game. That's 3 points there. Look,
you know what? It depends if there's more points deductions to come. I think it's between three of them. I think Brentford are just about all right. I think I'm going to look at Everton's fixtures now. Chelsea, Forest, Liverpool, Brentford, Luton, Sheffield United and Arsenal. Those three are playing each other. That's the thing. I think it's going to come down to the Luton-Everton game. Whoever wins that, and I would fancy Luton at the moment. I think Luton might survive. I'm going to stick my neck out and say Everton are going to be the team to go down now with the division.
I was going to say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
They have got a game in hand. The only thing is they do have a game in hand. But
yeah.
I mean, they have got Chelsea as well, so maybe. Maybe.
That game in hand is against Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, but again, that is a derby where anything can happen. I mean, we've seen it with the Manchester derby this year. You just never know with those types of games. It's so hard to call. So Everton could, you know, if Everton came away from that with a 1-0 win to stop Liverpool winning the title, I mean, what extra incentive do they need?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to come down to the Forest game and the Luton game, I think, for Everton.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Sheffield United as well, and to be fair, I think Sheffield United will probably be down, but,
yeah,
you know, you ask, if it comes down to the last game of the season, they've got Arsenal. So, and if Arsenal are where they are now, you know.
No easy game there.
It's not going to be easy, is it? Yeah. Well, that's kind of like an overview of the table. I think we'll just talk about sort of Villa and Chelsea. Don't know if you want to go first, Liam.
Happily. We've obviously lost out on fourth this weekend. Not a great performance from us, to be honest. Once again, we're sort of struggling holding on to a lead. Tend to start well with the lead, and then I don't know whether it's mentality or whether it's tiredness at this point. You know, we've had a lot of injuries, so players have played a lot of minutes, not had that much rotation that hasn't been enforced. But, you know, overall, we're sat fifth in the table and we're 11 points clear of sixth. I think, you know, when we looked at the start of the season at where we thought Villa would be, I said top six and a decent run in the Conference League would be more than adequate for our season. So to still be challenging for fourth and to still be in the Conference League at this point, I think that's a massive success. We have struggled with players out. I think it might have been a bit different if Mings had been fit this season, but he got a nasty injury in game one that sort of set him back for the rest of the year. He's not going to be back till next season. Wendy has been missing. Ramsey's been out for most of the season. Obviously, the last couple of weeks, Watkins has been out with injury. I know he came back at the weekend, but you know we did miss him when he was out. McGinn's suspension, Kamara's injured, Cash is injured. We've had Moreno injured for a while, Deegan's been injured for a while. So, you know, he's never blamed injuries. We do have a squad for that reason, you know, to bring people in. But I think it's catching up with us in the legs a little bit now. But yeah, overall, again, great season. And if we were to finish fifth and we were to even just get to the final of the Conference League, it's from where we were 4 years ago. I mean, even where we were even 2 years ago under Gerrard, it's just a huge, huge improvement. So,
yeah.
I genuinely couldn't be happier. I mean, we were pushing it with the big boys at the top for 25 weeks, I would say. It's only really been over the last sort of 7-8 games that we've hit a bit of a dodgy patch and we've slipped away a little bit. I mean, that's so hard to do, especially for the squad that we have compared to Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, and you know where we've come from. We're, you know, decades behind the progress of teams like Man City. So yeah, still a long way to go, but yeah, I'll be very happy with fifth if we stay there.
Yeah. Well, I guess moving on to Chelsea.
Where start really, Chris? I mean,
well, I'd say the first word is inconsistency.
Strange.
I think when you look sort of when you go back, especially I would say over the last sort of eight results that we've had, you know, inconsistency is the biggest problem we have at the moment. I mean, you just go to look at, you know, the Man United game last week, where everything looked dead and buried, and then from nowhere we ended up winning the game, which yep. we didn't deserve to win. You know, I'm under no illusion that we should have won that game, because we definitely shouldn't have won that game. But then you'd think that that sort of result would be the one to pick us up and put a bit of belief in us. And then, you know, you see what happened at the weekend when we come out of a 2-2 draw against Sheffield United. It's the inconsistency of one game we're playing not great, but well enough to win the game. And then we go and play a team that we should be beating quite easily, because other teams have been beating them quite easily. I mean, Newcastle put 8 past this team not too long ago, and we're struggling to score 2 goals against them. So you can tell there's definitely an issue. I mean, even if we go back to the Man City game in February, well, you know, we drew 1-1 at Man City, which, you know, for us was probably a very good result. We actually played pretty well that day.
You did, yeah.
And we would go against, a week later, we're in the Carabao Cup final. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's very inconsistent. It's a final that we should have won.
Yeah, you had to win.
And we didn't. We didn't end up winning. So, I personally, it does seem like it's getting better. I mean, this, since the 1st of January, we've lost 3 games in all competitions, which is a lot better than what it was last year.
You are unbeaten in the league since February the 4th.
Yeah.
That Wolves game.
It is, although we're not playing great football, and I'm not saying that we are winning these games with a lot of style, because we're definitely not. And some of the games have been helped, but scoring for us hasn't been an issue.
No.
You know, Cole Palmer, I'll go out and say it, that he's probably the best signing of the season. Declan Rice is probably up there as well. But I'd say Palmer's got a definite, you know, definite nod on that sort of, you know, front where we paid $35 million for him.
Yeah,
and he's what? He's not far behind Haaland now, is he? I mean, the 3 goals he did score on against Marino were deflections and penalties. So, you know. But he's been the standout for us this season. But where we are really lacking it is the defending side of it. Because it's really bad. I mean, each game I watch us, we're just making mistakes. You got Caicedo against Man United. I don't know what he's doing. He's passing it across to no one. Well, to Garnacho. He goes through and scores. I don't know if you've seen it, but the De Zerzi one against Leicester, lobbed the keeper. I don't know how he did it. Lobbed the keeper. But it's just the inconsistency with defending. It's not good. And I don't know how you plug it. I don't know how you do it, because he's tried numerous different ways to do it.
When it's a goal that, you know, you can see collectively as a team, and something you can work on in the training ground from set pieces or things like that.
Yeah.
Is it better to then concede from an individual error? Because, you know, if you just cut those out, you're not actually doing anything wrong as a team.
Yeah, but if we, that's what I mean. If we cut them out, we wouldn't be conceding half as many goals we do. Most of the goals that we concede are from when we're trying to play it out from the back and we get caught out.
Yeah,
and to me, it just seems like we do it so often, how is no one else, you know, who's training these players, sees what we all see? When we play up from the back, it don't work. When it does work, it does work, but it's very rarely it does. I mean, probably like 2 in every 5 times that they try it, it works. And even then, it don't go very far. But I don't know. I quite like him as a manager, but I think, you know, he's been given a task. He's basically been told by the owners, these are the players that we want you to play with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a huge amount of experience there. Try and make it work for a couple of seasons. And then once these players have played together for a couple of seasons, that's when we're going to start wanting to see a return.
Yeah.
So we're going to want to see you, you know, fight for the Premier League title. That's the only way I can see it. In the owner's head, that's how I see it, how it comes across. Invested heavily on all these young players. Try and get it to work. Try and get something out of it. You know, like we got to the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah.
We're trying to push for a European place, you know. It reminds me a lot of like when Lampard was in charge, when we just scraped getting in the Champions League. He had no money to spend. We were on a ban.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with what he had. And this is what I think, although they've spent heavily on the team and they've invested in the team, they've invested on a lot of young players.
Yeah.
And I guess he's just been told, try and make it work for a couple of seasons. And the payoff will hopefully come later. And if it doesn't, it's a huge failure. And, you know, I don't think it's completely down to Poch. You know, obviously his responsibility is trying to get those players to play together in a way that he thinks that they can win the game.
Yeah.
But I'm almost 95% sure that he hasn't handpicked the majority of these players. I think Todd Bowley and his advisors have sent scouts out around Europe, around the world. They've come back to him and said, these are the players that we should be trying to get.
Yeah. I agree. And, totally.
You know, he's obviously, because, you know, they've obviously gone down the road of getting everyone in young, and they're going to build from that. And it might work. If it works, then he's a genius. But it's probably going to mean that Poch is never going to get, whilst he's at Chelsea, the players that he probably wants.
Yeah.
Because one, we can't spend any more money. And two, I would have thought that the majority of the money that they were going to invest in players, they've done it all at once. So, and like I said, the payoff comes later. In their head, the payoff comes later.
Yeah.
I mean, it might mean that they're happy to finish mid-table for the first two seasons, and that's why I'm thinking that they're not going to get rid of Poch, because they feel that in 2-3 years' time, like he did at Tottenham, I guess, kind of, you know, he had the same crop of players at Tottenham for what, 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
They got to the Champions League final.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's their thinking behind of getting Poch in, was because he's done it at Tottenham, because Daniel Levy's too tight to spend money on players.
Yeah.
He had the same players for 4 or 5 seasons.
Yep.
You know, they sold Bell, and all that money from the Bell signing, they staggered over sort of 4 or 5 seasons with Poch.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it. And I don't know if that's...
It's interesting what you say about the transfers, because I agree. I do think this is the owners sending out scouts, taking reports from who they should be buying and that kind of thing. Because I was just looking back over the transfers that were obviously so successful for Pochettino at Southampton, and I think as well, possibly for Spurs a little bit. He never once went out and bought like the hottest prospects in Europe. I mean, you're looking at Mane, Van Dijk, You're looking at, I just see Bertrand is obviously, I think he's just left Southampton, hasn't he? But he was obviously a big favourite there. He bought in Wanyama as well. He bought him to Spurs as well. Dave Lovren as well was a hit at Southampton for a season. You know, they're not massive fees, and they're not, you know, going out and getting a list of, you know, 50 players under 20 years old and seeing who they can sign. You know, I don't think any of them were particularly old, but, you know, they weren't teenagers at the time they were being bought. I do think you're right. And this, my concern, if you like, about doing it this way is the Premier League's very unforgiving. And he must have been very close to being sacked after that Wolves game. You know, he's turned it around since then, which fantastic. But he was very, very close. Either being sacked after the Wolves game or after the League Cup final. You don't get that time anymore. So I'm a bit concerned that he would know that, right? He would know that going.
Well, I think he knows. He knows. I think there must have been a conversation to have to say that they've got him on I think it's like a 4 or 5 year deal to be the manager. Now, he must be aware that he's probably not going to get sacked in the first 2-3 seasons of his contract, because one, they probably can't afford to sack him because of the amount of money they're going to have to pay him, and two, they want him to work with these players, and sort of in 3-4 years time, that's when it starts to get a bit edgy for him, because that's when they're going to want a return on their investment. They're going to want him to go out and win, you know, they're going to want to win the best, you know, trophies around, the Premier League and the Champions League.
Yeah.
I think the one, obviously you mentioned Southampton then, that's the one thing that I don't want to happen, is I don't want us to become a feeder club for other teams around Europe. And that's where I think Todd Bowley he's thought about that, and that's why these players got such long contracts.
Yeah.
You look at Fernandes and Palmer, they've all got, and Mudryk, they've all got 7-8 year contracts. And they'll be late 20s by the time these contracts run out. So I guess he's trying to get the best out of these players whilst they're still here. And then if it isn't working with one of the players, he's going to want his money back, basically, for what they've paid for him. I mean, you know, you've got players like Lavia, you know, who we were fighting with Liverpool to sign. We've signed him, and I think he's played like 18 minutes of football for us this season because he's just been injured. He's out again now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to use injuries as an excuse, but we've had our fair share this season of injuries. And when I look back to the first game of the season where we played Liverpool, our biggest threat was from our wing-backs. It was from Chilwell and it was from Reece James. And they got injured.
Yeah.
Reece James got injured in that game. Chilwell got injured about 3 or 4 games later. And I think that was a huge, for us, having both of them on the pitch at the same time, we looked really good. It's like last season, when they played together, we look really, really good going forward.
Yeah.
We shouldn't. Like, your wing back, I know your wing backs are not supposed to be the most attacking players, but it was working. And, you know, I'm reading reports now that obviously, you know, they're in trouble with money and they need to sell players before the 30th of June. I've seen Reece James' name on this list of players that actually leave.
Yeah.
You've got Reece James, Conor Gallagher, and Trevor Chalobah.
Yeah.
The three names that I've seen, so.
It's funny you should mention that, because obviously Villa announced their losses, as it turned out, over the 3-year period. And we are within FFP, but if we want to spend any more, we're going to have to sell someone. And the main player that's being mentioned for us is Jacob Ramsey, for the exact same reason that Gallagher and James are for you.
That's striking you got.
100% profit on Ramsey because he's come through the youth team. So if we can sell him for 40 million, that's all towards FFP.
How much do you want for your striker?
This season, wow. Yeah, you're looking at probably 80 million, I would say.
Yeah, all right, okay. Oh, yeah, all right. Sold.
I mean, obviously, that would mean a huge profit to us.
Don't worry, he'd come to Chelsea. He'd either get injured for the season, or he wouldn't be able to hit the target because we're pretty good at doing that. So,
I mean, he does. There are times when you do get frustrated with Watkins. He doesn't take every single chance. I know not every striker takes every single chance, but there are games you watch him and you just think, oh, it's not your day. You know, he's at both posts. He's missed an open goal. But then it'll still crop up with something in the end.
He didn't have a great game for England, did he? I don't think.
No.
They put him out and he wasn't getting anything. That was the problem. He just wasn't getting any service.
He does need people around him. But he likes to be in a team that pushes forward and defends from the front. You know, he's a proper worker. He does like to chase things down. England don't really do that. You know, England are very much, you know, we'll get back in shape, wait for the ball to come to us and then try and attack. And it's just not how he is. He just likes running and wearing defences down. So, yeah, it was a different way that England played to Villa. But, you know, hopefully he gets another chance.
Do you think he'll get picked for the Euros?
I mean, I was looking at his involvements earlier. I hate using that goal involvement.
He's got the most, hasn't he?
He has got the most. I
think Palmer's just behind him, isn't he?
Yeah, Palmer is very close. But
I think he's second or third, Palmer. But
yeah, so obviously Haaland top scorer with 19, Ollie Watkins on 18.
Yeah.
Got 10 assists, and you know, Palmer's on 16 goals and 9 assists. They're not far behind each other, really.
Yeah. If you're going by paper, he should be.
Should. Yeah.
He should be going. I mean, the thing is for Watkins is Harry Kane's there. That's the problem. But you know, Harry Kane hasn't got, you know, long left. So we're going to need someone to step up. And at the moment, it looks like it's going to have to be him. So,
I'll be ready if Kane gets injured or whatever.
Yeah. I'd take it. I would.
I think he's got to be the best second choice.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, goals from English players. Obviously, Palmer you've mentioned from more of a midfield role. In terms of strikers, you're looking at Solanke, who's got 16 goals this season.
He's done well this season.
Very good year, but 16 goals and 3 assists. And then again, all the other English scorers and midfielders: Bowen, Saka, Foden. You know, the next English striker. It's Colton Morris with 9 goals.
Get him on the bus. Get him on the plane.
I mean, again, 9 goals. I mean, for a team that's near the bottom at this point, it's not actually that bad, really, when you consider how you know, Burnley and...
he's a fighter, though. He's
a proper... He was really hard when Villa played Luton.
He don't give much. Once he's got that ball at his feet, he won't be giving it up. Very easily.
Good in the end as well. So, yeah.
He might even be a good shot just to take.
Yeah,
just for the, you know.
You need a goal.
On the unlikely event that Harry Kane or Ollie Watkins get injured.
Front.
I mean, you know, give him a chance. But yeah. Yeah. But that's it for part one. We're back with part two. With some wonders of why, who am I, and a quiz. Hello and welcome back to part two of this week's episode. And we're going to go straight into some wonders of white, Liam.
Yes, I've missed it, Chris. I missed your facts.
Okay, so, Nonny Madueke's goal, assisted by Cole Palmer, was the 14th time Chelsea have had a Premier League goal, both scored and assisted by players under the age of 22. Which hasn't been done since Leeds United back in the 99-2000 season when they had 20 goals assisted by players under the age of 22.
Pretty impressive. I mean, your entire squad is under the age of 22.
Yeah,
the prize is not higher.
Arsenal haven't trailed for a single minute in any of their 11 Premier League games in 2024. Wow. It's their longest run of games without falling behind in the competition since a run of 12 games from February to May 2005.
I mean, yeah, that's why they're at the top, isn't it? But I don't know, is it going to last? I just keep expecting, you know, Arsenal to kick into full Arsenal mode, and yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is the year. Maybe Declan Rice is the difference. Who knows?
It's another Cole Palmer one, actually. Cole Palmer has scored in each of his last six Premier League appearances at Stamford Bridge. He is the first player aged 21 or younger to score in six home Premier League appearances in a row since Cristiano Ronaldo did it in 2006-2007.
That is quite an impressive one, to be fair. He's done well, and he's in my fantasy league team, Chris. I'm going to say that. That's how well he's done. But it'll be good to get in there.
And last but not least, this is one that you messaged me about, actually. So Ajax have lost an official game by a 6-goal margin for the first time in the club's history.
Yes, I did see that this weekend. To Feyenoord, of all teams, as well.
If you didn't know, Feyenoord actually had 30 shots to Ajax's one.
Yeah, they've not had a good year, Ajax, but I'm sure it won't be long before they rebuild. You know, the thing with Ajax and, you know, a lot of the teams similar to them in Europe, there's a wave of young players that are obviously just about to come through. I mean, you look at the people they've sold over the last, I'd say, 5 years. You look at, you know, like De Ligt and De Jong and Anthony and Martinez. You'd hope that there's a plan for Ajax fans out there. And there's another sort of batch of youngsters coming through, but yeah, not looking good for them this season anyway. I mean, you know, Villa beat them relatively comfortably in the Conference League, which if you'd have said that, you know, 2 years ago, I'd have never believed you. So, yeah. Only way is up.
The only way is up. Okay, so we're coming on to a quiz. So this is a bit like a game of higher and lower. But it's higher, lower, same. I've added one
option.
An option just to make it a tad bit harder. So the last time we recorded a podcast, I've managed to find the Premier League table. I've got a list of 10 teams, and we're going to see if you can remember or if you know if their position now is higher, lower, or same as what it was in November.
I'm gonna try and do this without looking at the table as it is now.
You can look at the table now. I mean, it's not gonna really give you much, but I'll tie it up to you. The first one's an easy one. Might be easy for you. But the first one is Aston Villa.
Well, the last time we recorded was in November, and we made a blistering start to the season. So I think we're now lower.
That's correct. You are lower. The next team is Chelsea. Higher, lower, or same?
Yeah, I've been on a good run. I'm going to say you are higher. I reckon you're probably 10th.
Yes, we're two places above where we were. Next team is Brighton.
Oh, yeah, that's tricky because they've floated around in that group that have only got about 4 points separating them for the whole season. I'm going to say lower.
It is lower. They were seventh at the time. Next one is Luton.
Ooh. I might say the same.
It is the same, yeah.
Oh, I knew there was going to be one in there.
Crystal Palace.
They've been pretty rubbish recently, haven't they? I'm going to go lower.
Actually the same.
Oh!
Manchester City.
I think we were ahead of Man City in November, so I'm going to say they're higher.
They are higher.
Yeah, because they didn't have a good start to the season, did they? Well, I don't think they did.
Well, for their standard, no.
Yeah, for their standard.
Fulham.
Oh. I am going to go lower.
You're lower.
They've been a surprise package this season, Fulham, for the wrong reason. You know, they had such a good year last year. I really thought they were going to do better this season. But sorry, yeah, off on a tangent.
Arsenal,
were they top when we last spoke? No, I'm going to say they weren't. I'm going to say they're now higher.
It's the same.
Oh, no. They were top 11 as well. Oh, I didn't think they'd been top for hardly any time this season.
No, they were top briefly for, I think it was game week 15 and 16. Bournemouth.
They've been on a good run, so they're definitely higher.
Correct. And Sheffield United.
Were they bottom then, or were Burnley bottom then? I'm going to say the same.
It is the same, yeah.
They have been bottom a long time, haven't they? Or Sheffield United.
Okay, so you've got 8 out of 10.
Not bad, I'm pleased with that.
It was just the sames that...
sames through me.
Tricked you a little bit, yeah. Yeah, to be fair, it hasn't. Most of it is they've only changed by one or two places. There hasn't been like a huge amount of changes since then. But yeah, that's it. That's your quiz.
Shall we do a who am I, Chris?
Yep.
I'm going to give you the option of A or B this week. I'll let you randomly choose because I've got two to choose from.
B.
You've gone with B, that's good, because that's the tab I've got open, so that's good. Okay, B, a retired player, so I'll give you their full career. I'm going to be a bit mean, I'm not going to give you their first team.
Okay, that's fine.
First team, you know, you spotted my trend. That's going to be what their nationality is. So I'm not going to be their first team. Unless you ask for it, I'll give it to you as a clue. So, yes, they are retired. So their second team was Dynamo Zagreb.
Oh, my word.
They then moved to Celtic. And then Leeds United. Middlesbrough. And then they ended their career at Newcastle United. Would you like me to give you those teams again, Chris?
No, because I know who it is.
He knows who it is. He's confident.
Yeah, it's the more the Leeds Middlesbrough thing, and then the Celtic thing, I guess, as well. I didn't know he actually played for Zagreb, if I'm honest. And probably the reason that you didn't give me. The first team is, I'm assuming, that he started in Australia.
He did start in Australia, yes. He started for a team called the Melbourne Knights.
Oh, blimey.
Which I thought just might give you a bit of a hint towards his nationality.
They're not one I'm familiar with from the A-League.
No.
I might as well say it was Mark Viduka.
It was indeed Mark Viduka, yes. Melbourne Knights, they are still going as a football club.
Oh.
They are in the National Premier League's Victoria, which is the second tier of Australian Soccer League, so the A-League. So they are still going. But yes, Mark Viduka, so he started his career at Melbourne Knights. 40 goals in 48 games, which is pretty good going, you know, almost a goal a game. Yeah. Dynamo Zagreb, 40 goals again in 84 games. Celtic, 30 and 37. He's got a good scoring record. And then obviously, you know, played a lot for Leeds, a lot more than he did for his other clubs. So 59 and 130, and then 26 and 72 for Middlesbrough. And then he ended his career at Newcastle, which, I'll be honest, I can't remember. I can't, you know, I'll picture Mark Viduka, I'll picture him in a Leeds shirt or a...
I vaguely do remember him.
But yeah, 7 goals in 38 league games for Newcastle. So getting towards the end of his career there, but underrated, I think, a bit as a goal scorer. 20 goals in 2003 in the league for Leeds. 17 goals in 2001 as well. 14 goals for Middlesbrough in 2007. You know, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
Just looking at this Melbourne Knights team. Peter Beardsley played for them, apparently, before he retired.
There you go. Not, well, he's not coming up on a Who Am I anytime soon, then. That'll just give it away.
I didn't know. Yeah, I'm just having a look through like their sort of players who've played who've played for their country. I mean, the majority is teams from
Australia,
New Zealand, and none of the other ones I really recognise, if I'm honest. Oh. Men's.
Yeah, good player. I mean, as that was easy, do you want to do option A as well? We can do option A.
Oh, yeah, we can do it. Yeah, yeah, why not?
I wasn't sure whether this was easier or harder. I thought,
oh, no.
Maybe a little bit easier, to be honest.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm going to do the same. He's retired. I'm not going to give you his first club.
Right, yeah.
I mean. But his second club was PSG. His third club was Barcelona. Then AC Milan, Flamengo, Atletico Mineiro, Querétaro, and Fluminense. Is that a bit more difficult, Chris, or is that
not really? No, it's Ronaldinho.
Yeah, the pause threw me then. Yeah, it is.
I was just trying to think with the names that you get, with the teams you get, and I knew he must have come from Brazil.
I mean, he started and ended in Brazil.
I when I think of Ronaldinho, I actually think of him more in a AC Milan shirt than I do in a Barcelona shirt.
Interesting.
Just weird.
3 years in Milan. He spent 3 years there.
He was there when Beckham was.
He was there with Beckham.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not bad for AC Milan in all competitions. 26 goals, 95 games. Pretty good game.
I remember him for Barcelona. He scored against Chelsea. I remember him scoring.
There was a time, I think, at Barcelona, just as Messi was coming through. I'd probably say Ronaldinho was the best player in the world at that time.
I think he left because of Messi, didn't he?
Maybe.
Because he was going to get pushed out of the team. Because
quite possibly.
I think they were flirting with Neymar as well. I think he was.
But he was phenomenal for Barcelona. 94 goals in 207 games for them. Again, you know, one in two, really, for a midfielder.
I guess one of his more iconic goals is probably the one he scored against England, isn't it, I guess?
The one against England and the one against Chelsea, I would say, Chris. You remember that one?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Remember that one. Yeah. Outside of his foot.
Yeah. Yeah, critics would say it was a toe poke, but...
Yeah.
Seem like
cheats, though. They're a bunch of cheats.
But yeah, interesting career. And he was still playing in 2015, which...
I mean, he was in prison for a bit, wasn't he?
Oh, was he?
Didn't he go to prison for a bit?
I shouldn't have included him in this.
Hang on. I'm almost certain he went to prison.
Early in personal life. Don't think it says anything about prison. If I'd have known that, Chris, I wouldn't have included him.
He certainly got sent to prison for, not long, but...
There's nothing on Wikipedia, which is not to say it didn't happen, but maybe someone's removed it.
All right. Well, that's it. That's it for this week. Anything else, Liam?
Not this week.
We'll be back again next week.